Welcome to Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Joe Cook. We got Eric Nolene. Today, we're going to talk about some of the issues facing college football, whether it's house settlement, NIL, some realignment stuff, and some other off-field things that'll be talked about with SEC spring meetings coming up next week, plus how it all affects the future of the Texas Longhorns. So make sure you like this video, make sure you subscribe to the channel, and of course, make sure to head to InsideTexas.com. We'll be talking about all these different things. We even had RT post an article about the top non-Texas games for this upcoming season. Lots to look forward to now that there's 99 days till Texas kicks off. I think a little bit fewer days than that for week zero. But all the stuff that is in the college football headlines these days, Eric, it's nothing really has to do with the game of football.
No, but the future of college football is there's so much uncertainty surrounding it. We've got to tackle some of these hard topics. And, you know, I kind of like how all the political maneuvering and the levers being pulled and all these things. It's fun to read about for me, but it's very hard to discuss because there is so much going on, and it's very easy to get out of your depth. Even if you're a smart, sharp lawyer, you can only be speaking for one side that doesn't really have an understanding of what the push and pull on the other side is thinking. So it's a convoluted mess. I wish that there was much more stability in college football, but we're going to have to all get through this together. These institutions, rival institutions, not just school rivals, but various lawyers, political entities are all going to have to figure this out over the next couple of years. And we're in the middle. We're only in the beginning stages right now, it seems.
The big one is the house settlement. That one seems to be close to the finish line. Schools need it to be close to the finish line because I'm sure there have been a ton of different athletic departments that have already signed players to the schools call it publicity rights, but revenue sharing deals that start on July 1st. We're still waiting on the approval. It seems like walk-ons and roster limits and a certain grandfathering of some of the current players there is the only hang up, but everybody seems to expect that Claudia Wilkin, who I think pretty much every side has been pretty happy with and how she's handled the case. I think once they hammered out that detail with the rosters, we'll really see the house revenue sharing stuff start to flourish and start to take center stage with how these kids are getting paid.
Yeah, that's the final hurdle. But the way that schools are operating, certainly Texas, is this thing's a done deal. It's wrapped. It's a mere formality. And yeah, she was worried about grandfathering in current scholarship athletes. She didn't want anybody to lose their spot due to this ruling. That was an easy hurdle. The final ruling has not come down yet. I think that could come down pretty much any day. But that's just a mere formality. House is going through 100%. Schools are preparing for it. They've been budgeting for it for quite a while. I mean, they've known for a long time, at least 6 months, 7 months that this was going to get done. Texas is ready for it. Everybody's curious about how the funds are going to break down. Most of it's going to go to football because football is what drives revenue and funds everything else.
I know when Chris Del Conte was speaking, I think it was back in February, he kind of made the point, we got to find this money somewhere. You can't just scrounge in the couch cushions, even at a place like Texas. One of the ways that they're raising some revenue is to increase season ticket prices, which this isn't the year to do that, unfortunately, considering who's playing at home. You got one big game at home, and that's Texas A&M. Yeah. But that's how they got to find it. You know, when you have 60-something thousand season ticket holders and you can get 10 or so dollars extra per game, I think is what they were saying, yeah, something around those numbers, that adds up. And especially when you have to fully fund these 85 scholarships, fully fund all these different sports that they're building up to, it's really difficult. And it forces us also to, especially at a school like Texas, where we know we cover football, we're Inside Texas Football, proud baseball program, proud swimming program, track, volleyball's winning national titles. You view everything through football because it's the revenue generator, but people like Chris Del Conte and people like athletic directors around the country, I mean, think about Nebraska. That's a school with a big-time volleyball program too. You can't just take the $22 million and throw it all in one sport, or else it's just not going to work across the board for your athletic department.
No, but, you know, a little bit goes a long way for some of those Olympic sports, especially if Texas is going to, you know, what you care most about is your competitive advantage. All those other schools are going to be probably even more focused on football than Texas, just because they need football to be more successful than even Texas does. Nebraska, certainly. But a little bit goes a long way. So, you know, there's not going to be any drop off in softball. There's not going to be any drop off in swimming or volleyball. Girls basketball, we won't see a drop off in that because Texas is still going to be competitive on NIL, and also that there's still a corporate advantage within Austin that will help with some of those. Certainly some of the more high profile female athletes are always going to do well in Austin. I don't think that Texas's reputation for the Olympic sports is not going to trail off at all. If anything, it might even get better.
One of the other things is I think a lot of the scholarship money contributes to that total, and since you're fully funding every sport, baseball's going from 11.7 to 25. Well, you're doubling essentially. So there's money there. I think volleyball, basically every sport is going up in the amount of scholarships it has, except for football, and that's because of an SEC rule. They're limiting it at 85, despite the House settlement would permit a limit of 105. So you're seeing money. It's not just basically going directly into the students' pockets. There's some avenues, I guess, to say where Texas is spending the money, but at the same time, it's not just all going in. But speaking of money in student athletes' pockets, it's a lot of what NIL does. There's been some reports about figures related to Texas and NIL. Most reporting last year that talked about the biggest national contender, national championship contenders like Texas, like Ohio State, threw out numbers around 20 million for the whole roster. I think Ohio State was said to be around 21 or something like that. There's been reporting that for this upcoming season, Texas football is going to cost, you know, basically what it costs to get a starting pitcher on a yearly basis, 30 plus million, something like that. But those numbers were likely way more exaggerated than what's actually happening.
Well, I think that report came out as far as their budgeting. That money's not budgeted necessarily. This is probably the lead story, and this is also what we're trying to figure out and get a better understanding. I've been kind of talking to people all morning and AI searching and Google searching, kind of where this is all going. This is probably going to tell the tale for Texas's success going forward. Will they continue to have a competitive advantage that they've had since we had so much transparency in the last few years? You know, bags have been a thing of the past, but are bags going to come back under the table payments? Will that make a comeback? You know, it's important to know that the only thing Texas likes about this current climate is that athletes are getting paid. They agree 100% with that. There's no political divisiveness behind the scenes about it. Everybody wants athletes being paid. The problem, of course, comes with if transparency goes away, which of course all the governing entities say it won't, but you never know, then Texas will lose its competitive advantage. So in comes the importance of corporate NIL. Marketability within Austin, of course, is an advantage that most schools don't have. The number one, you know, athletics program in the country in a metropolitan area that only has one minor major sport in soccer. So, you know, what Bowles reported, 35 to 40 million, I think is the goal. That's not exactly what's set aside. We know that the House is going to give them probably 15. If you say, you know, the rest will go to the other sports we were just talking about. And then they got to come up with a lot of corporate NIL, not Texas necessarily. But somebody has to be a liaison to all these businesses that want to do business with Texas. Now, fortunately, that is a very, very long list of people that are angling any way they can to get into the Texas market. Trust me, we deal with companies all the time that maybe Texas is exclusive with one of their competitors, but this is a way that they can still access you, the Texas fan. They're going to want to do that. So the goals are lofty, but the way that they can combat bags, if bags do come back, if there is no enforcement mechanism to keep them at bay, is through corporate NIL dealings. And they're going to have to make that work. If Texas is going to stay at the top, they're absolutely going to have to make that work in the coming years.
And I think a lot of people, there's two notable examples. One is a person, one's like a category. You look at the quarterbacks, you know, Steve Sarkisian claimed that Quinn Ewers didn't take any money from the Texas One Fund, was able to make money just by using his name. You saw the Dr. Pepper stuff. You saw him, you know, with trading cards. He had a host of different ones. Everybody remembers kombucha, but I don't think he kept that at Texas. That was a long time ago. And you see it with Arch Manning, you know, Vori, Red Bull, Panini, you know, being in the video game, all the different things. Both of those players were prominent in the video game. There's that one avenue. And then there's the car dealership way. Everybody remembers Lambo and Bijan, but you've seen players receive what's it called? Sponsorship deals for certain auto dealerships in the Austin area. Everybody remembers Dakotas Crawford with the AC company. Stuff like that. That's going to be able to step in and help with a lot of this. And that's what everybody, it seems like, in the entire ecosystem really loves. The fact that you can put a player on a billboard for, you know, without having to jump through so many NCAA hoops. Red Bull can sponsor Arch Manning, Jeremiah Smith. And, you know, we even see the HEB commercials around town with Maddie Skinner and stuff like that. Like, that's what all these schools like and have no problem with. It's just what else is going on that they have.
Right. Did you see that study came out, I guess, recently, where 90% of NIL run through businesses in the school were on the up and up for this, you know, body that's taking a look at what would be legal and what wouldn't be legal going forward. And 70% of the collectives would not be allowed. So that tells you Texas has to make up probably 70% there some kind of way, because the collectives played a major part in Texas's resurgence. There's no doubt about it. It's been, now Texas did everything within the rules. They played within the rules. But Texas did have advantages that a lot of schools didn't. They also, not only that, but they had a great plan. You know, the people behind it are very smart and not emotional about it. They, you know, you didn't really see them overspending. So Texas is losing an advantage in a couple different ways. And they're going to have to stay on top of it. And they're going to have to politic behind the scenes and lobby and make sure that the right, you know, not right politicians are in the bag, but the right politicians are seeing it their way to keep, because they're really going for the proper approach, where they want everything on the up and up. That has to stay the same. And if everything does stay on the up and up, Texas will be just fine.
I'm really curious which legislative or which branch of the government is going to take control, because you see all these different entities. You know, we've even heard Jay Hartzell on the record speaking at various events that, and he represents obviously the academic side of things, or did as UT president, saying they all these schools want Congress involved, because once Congress says something, you get it there for all 50 states instead of having Texas with this and Missouri with this and Louisiana with this.
Right. Yeah, that's a huge part of it, because everything that we talk about, it seems like, all right, this sounds good on paper. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, we forgot about this minor little detail, the players. Or we forgot about this minor little detail. This is legal in 14 states, but illegal in 22 states. So yeah, they need some. They need all this to be. You have to have some sort of clear path that all schools and all states are going to abide. That's something we've talked about before. It's tough to get without federal legislation. It's impossible, because you could have collective bargaining in California, but if you're an employee in Texas, you cannot collectively bargain. So how's that even going to work? So unfortunately, this is a system where or an instance where federal legislation is to me, it's going to be inevitable.
The big senator, as far as I know, Ted Cruz is making this.
You really have to say Ted Cruz's name on here? Oh my God! Now the comments are going to be, I like Ted. I hate Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is probably in Cancun right now. Yeah, it's going to be all those different things.
I know, but the one thing I guess to say, not to go too deep onto, you know, a polarizing figure, is that he represents Texas within the United States Senate. You see him wearing everybody's logo, for better or worse, at certain games.
You don't want him at your game. What is his record when he goes to your game? You're going to lose. It's like Jim Cramer picking stocks. Yeah,
exactly. But he's become kind of the face of this issue, at least on the legislative side. Yeah. He'll probably do a lot of what the schools want, but you know, there's just so much uncertainty still going forward.
I would say, I'll just say this for Cruz, and I think that he is an ally to what Texas is trying to get done. And so, you know, this is a really interesting issue, because it's going to make strange bedfellows, I think. You know, you have some traditional people, we don't want kids getting paid, but then you have another branch of people that might differ from people that want unionization and all that. They're going to differ on that, but at the bottom line, they do want all these kids getting paid their fair market value. So there's a lot of overlap in political principles, I think, that's going to make for some strange bedfellows. You've already seen it Ted Cruz and Cory Booker. Now, we've already gone way over what we want to say politically, but it's coming to that. It's inevitable, and it probably needs to get to that point just because there's, you know, it's a tangled web. And it's kind of, you know, it's exactly how the states were designed. It is, everybody should be able to operate differently, but it doesn't work across a sport that's nationwide.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor. That is Academy, and that is Jordan. Academy Sports and Outdoors is your new home for Jordan gear. Gear up today and take flight on the court, off the court, and above the court. Unleash your greatness with head-to-toe Jordan gear for the entire family. Available in-store and at academy.com. Elevated styles and shoes for everyone. Unstoppable value every day. And plus, Academy offers easy ways to shop and save time, like free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup on Academy orders. Or you can choose same-day delivery powered by DoorDash. Order by 4, get it by 8. Check out Academy's full Jordan selection at academy.com, Academy Sports and Outdoors. And I'm shopping at Academy more now just to get some pool floaties when I got to get that little one in the pool and making sure sunscreen, all that different stuff. So I'm making sure.
That graphic reminds me that I'm afraid to jump these days. Like, we've got a little basketball court in the park nearby, and they've got a regular hoop for regular kids, and they've got the lowered hoop for, you know, my kid's 6. And it's like, I know I can dunk on it, but I just have this vision where I'm going to pop an Achilles landing and think, how stupid am I for dunking on this stupid 8-foot goal? But I don't know. I'm going to have to do it at some point.
I'm just going to have to start stretching every morning. Something other-handed. One of the places all these things are going to be discussed is SEC spring meetings. That's this upcoming week in Destin, just after Memorial Day. Inside Texas will be there. Last year, roster limits, all that stuff was the big topic. There's a variety of things that get talked about, but it's also a place where you can see Texas brass go. You're going to have Sark, Sean Miller, Vic Schaefer, Chris Del Conte. And an interesting factor is that now that Jay Hartzell is going to be heading to SMU and dealing with all the ACC stuff now, Texas is going to have, I believe, they should have their interim president, Jim Davis, there, speaking to Texas interest and taking a seat at the SEC roundtable.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just jealous you get to go to Destin. I thought Destin was a tourist trap, and then I went, and I could not believe the water and the beaches were as nice as they were. So I'm a little jealous of this trip you got. Yeah, it's going to be curious to see what actually comes out of this. You know, it's a good time to glad hand, but I'm more curious to see what actually breaks. Does the 9 conference schedule, I think that's going to break during this. You know, that's another formality. We talk about the house settlement being a formality. The 9-game conference schedule, I think that vote is a formality. We've been talking about that since we knew Texas was going into the SEC. It was coming to this point. I'm curious if that breaks. I think Ross Dellinger has mentioned it recently. We wrote about it 2 or 3 months ago. I said, I'm almost ready to break that it's going to happen, except the formal vote has not taken place. School presidents were more concerned with the house, figuring out navigating the house settlement. So that's my curious thing. Is that actually going to finally break? I bet it does.
Paul has written about this a ton as to what the pushback is. Texas 4-9 games. But if you're Arkansas, you know, you want to schedule 4 out of conference games. SEC requires 1 Power 4 game. But you can schedule Wake Forest like Ole Miss did last year. You can schedule Northwestern. And teams are not really willing to sacrifice wins if that means that Florida has to come to town if you're Arkansas, or that Texas – I mean, they like Texas coming to town, but like Alabama has to come to town. And there's a real push and pull on that front when it comes to you get 6 wins, you go to a bowl, you get a payout. And a lot of teams need that, but it sounds like the needs – of the conference as far as finding more money via a 9th game with the television rights, with all the different stuff, that's going to win out.
Yeah, Texas needs that game. You know, the rivalry game in Dallas every year is great. It's never going to change, but that does take a home revenue game away. So yeah, they're trying to get that. They're trying to claw that back. But the schools that have less of a voice, yes, they have a vote, but they're just going to have to go along to get along on this. It's got to go this way. It's financially, it's, you know, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to make more money? Sometimes that's just that's the easiest way to figure it out.
Last year, I believe Greg Sankey talked a little bit about scheduling. So unless it's like one of the big games, like Texas at Georgia or anything like that, they'll usually release a few TV times this week. So I think, and they have that flex window. So you'll know basically if it's a day game or a night game. You may not know if it's a morning game or an afternoon game quite yet, but this is about the time of year when they start to trickle out some of the TV times. And I guess this is as good a time as any to talk about a TV time or a lack thereof of a TV time that's kind of taken over the news. Some reporting out there about, you know, that the kickoff time for the Ohio State game has not yet been announced. We know it's on Fox. We know Fox likes putting their biggest game at noon Eastern, 11 Central. Mm-hmm. And we know that Texas at Ohio State is their biggest game. Still haven't announced TV time. There's some reporting on the Ohio State and Texas side that says Texas pushed back against the idea of changing it from a potential noon kickoff. I think we're both in support of that idea. I'm curious what you think about the whole brouhaha that occurred.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Big Noon hasn't been announced yet. I don't know. Maybe they have a set time they're going to do it, but we've been hearing it's going to be Big Noon for a long time. But that makes the most sense based on how they handled games last season. Yeah, Ohio State's really mad about this, but who cares? You know, I look at it a couple different ways. They first of all, they don't deserve a night game after how their fans were in 2005. Now, I was not at that game, but I can't tell you how many people I've had come up to me that have said it was the worst fans they've ever been around in their entire life. I'm talking about grown men that have traveled the country watching the Horns play in hostile environments, and that's what they came up with, the worst fans of all time, 2005 Ohio State. They don't deserve that night game. Screw them. Who cares, man? I've got people not going to that game because of their experience 20 years ago. So I could care less how they feel about that. First of all, college football is played on Saturdays, not Sundays, okay? All right? Texas is a traditional program. They're not going to have alternate uniforms, none of that. It's Saturday. Deal with it. If anybody has an advantage playing that early, it's Ohio State. They play all their big games at that time. This is like they're right in their wheelhouse. Their circadian rhythm wheelhouse is playing at 11 o'clock. So they actually have a built-in advantage playing at that time. But why would Texas, if Ohio State wants the game on a night and an alternate day, why would Texas go along with that? Obviously, Ohio State is picking that because it's in their best interest. Why would Texas go along with that? What if Texas wants to move it to a neutral site game? All right, because that's in Texas's best interest. You know, will Ohio State do that? Are they afraid? So who cares, man? The game's on the schedule. Play it.
I think the only reason Sunday's available is I think that's Labor Day weekend. So that's part of it. But you've got fans who, combined with the idea of the memories of 05, which you hear about them coming back from that, like you hear about veterans telling war stories. But then also, you know, if you're Chris Del Conte, the people who are going to that game are your biggest donors, and you don't want to cross them up and say, hey, all these travel plans that you made, another day, sorry, you got to fix that and stuff like that. So it makes sense. It's all going to wear off. I think Ohio State is just using Texas as a vehicle of their frustration with the Big Noon contract. Or the Fox contract and Fox's preference to make every big game into Big Noon.
I've got good news for them. It's not. This is not going to be the worst thing they'll have to deal with regarding this game.
Exactly. Last but not least, a little bit of team news to talk about. I think you had gone over this on the Inside Texas message board, but just worth pointing out, team had an open gym for most of May. We're able to finish up finals. We're able to, you know, go and work out whether at home or with some teammates there in the facility. But the formal stuff gets going in just a couple weeks.
Yeah, June 1st, they report back. And then June 2nd, workouts start, running, lifting, player-driven practices, 7-on-7, that sort of thing. So you expect the entire squad, the three guys that didn't enroll early, Nick Townsend and the Coleman twins. The only guy missing will probably be Jonah Williams.
That regional bout should be starting about 7 days from now. It'll be in Austin. Should be a lot of fun. We'll be having Evan Veith cover that as he has all year, and hopefully we get to see Omaha. And, you know, it's different. You know, a few years ago there were player workouts, but it was just kind of in the gym. We would have dry months basically in May, June, and July, and that was even with some official visits. Now there's only one dry month, so it's a great time to be covering college football because it really is year-round.
I love June. 7-on-7 is going to tell us a lot. We're going to find out about the young DBs covering these talented wide receivers and the vice versa. We'll find out about the wide receivers. Arch's timing is Arch's timing with Wingo better than Wingo's timing with Ewers. You know, that's there's a lot to cover, man, especially with a team that has so much athleticism and talent where people play in the back seven. Seven on seven will tell us a good amount about how ready the team is.
This is when last year, this is where Silas Bolden and DeAndre Moore really kind of stepped up. So it's an opportunity for newer players or, you know, people who went under the radar to really make their case for playing time as well.
Well, Xavier Worthy caught our attention his freshman year when he was killing everybody in seven on seven. We heard good things about Wingo going back to the last offseason, but that was a continuation of that. Yeah, there's usually a breakout player or two, and it usually translates to the field.
Should be a lot of fun to track. We'll track it here, not only on Inside the Program, but here on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel. So make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And, of course, head to InsideTexas.com. We'll have it all covered. Baseball, regional, SEC spring meetings. Official visit season is getting going. We'll have the recruiting scoop later. We posted a new top visitor from out of state is making a trek to Austin, locked in his official visit. So we have that on Inside Texas. This is going to be the place to be for all the different recruiting news, football news, non-football news, anything happening. So make sure you're locked in here and on InsideTexas.com. So, Eric, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Inside the Program, presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors.